Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 120. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And this week we're going to continue our journey through the Alien franchise. But first, Chris actually was a good movie dude and once again went to the theater and I stayed home. Chris, you went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I'm actually interested to hear what you think of it.
Yeah, so I went and saw Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Ah, yes.
The continuing adventures of Star-Lord and his band of merry freaks. Did you like the original Guardians of the Galaxy?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
I liked it okay, but I was not... I didn't like I had a friend, he invited me to go see it this last weekend, and I was like, dude, I don't think I liked it enough to, like, go rush to see the sequel. It felt very manufactured or something to me. Like, it's like, here's some great classic rock songs. Here's a cute character that says one word the whole movie. But Chris Pratt was good. Zoe Saldana. You know, like, the actors were good, and it was likable enough.
Yeah.
So that's how I felt about it.
I think I liked it a little more than you, the first one. This is more of that. It is more like classic rock, some more deeper cuts than what they did the first time around. But more classic rock. More like in fact, they lean heavily on Baby Groot because at the end of the original one, he had regenerated into a little tree. So now he is like, I don't know, most of the film, he's probably like, I mean, like a 4 or 5 year old. So he's small.
Am I a curmudgeon that like, I'm not impressed by Groot. I'm just like, all right, whatever. All he says is Groot, right?
I am Groot. That's all he says.
I am Groot. Yeah.
Over and over again.
I don't get it, but.
Yeah, I mean, he's fine. I think like Baby Groot's kind of cute, and he is amusing in this, but ultimately useless. Like, really, like,
yeah.
I mean, he's big enough that he can, like, in the poster, he is on Star-Lord's shoulder. Like, he's useless to the team here. So, There's a little more Rocket. There's a little more Drax. There's a little more Gamora. But they don't really play into their backstory much. It, again, focuses on Star-Lord primarily and his parents. Basically, the fact that he doesn't have a father. And a lot of this movie plays around with who his father is and the relationship that his father had with his mother and how he's never had a dad before or like that's what he thinks. And there's a lot of that going on here and it's okay. I mean, there's a lot of good comedy in between. I think the actors work really well together. You know, Batista and Zoe Saldana and Chris Pratt and even Bradley Cooper, who's just the voice of Rocket. But they all interact really well, and they look like they're having fun. Like that, it's a big piece of this. Like it's what made the Avengers, the first Avengers, kind of work at the end. Was like they all seem to be enjoying being out there. Even though that movie like has major issues, the fact that they worked together as a team was enjoyable, and this team here works really well together. They play a little bit like you get a little bit more with Gamora and her sister, Nebula, played by Karen Gillan. There's a little bit of interaction there. Nebula has some great lines in the film, but there's a lot of stuff that if you've seen the trailer, you've also seen some of the major jokes. Mm-hmm. So it's more spectacle I think it's fun. I did not come out of there going this, like, I did not like it as much as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another one of those. It's fun, I guess.
Is it like about the same quality, and it's just that like you've seen it before, you know, like you've seen the first one, so it's not as impressive this time, or do you think the first one's a little better?
Yeah, so I think the first one is a little better, and this is what I've seen with the Marvel movies. Their origin stories are really good.
I was thinking of Avengers too, because like that. Oh my god, I did not like that movie.
Right. Anyway. But I think like these films, the origin stories when we're first introduced to the characters work really well, because we don't really know who they are. We don't know how they're going to approach it in a film, and they generally hit the right notes with those films, and then they're left with having to tell another story. And sometimes they do okay. Like I think Captain America: Civil War was pretty good.
Oh yeah.
The second Captain America movie was actually pretty good. Winter Soldier.
It was a great movie.
But they've struggled a little bit in some of their other sequels, like Thor 2, Iron Man 2. Stuff like that doesn't always hit. Avengers 2 was kind of just a giant mess. It was a giant, fun spectacle mess, but like if you go back and like when I critically analyze that movie, it's not particularly great.
I fell asleep.
And with this one here, I mean, it's fun. Like that's what it has going for it. But if you take out the comedy, like the story is kind of ridiculous and it's not necessary. And I'm still wondering how they tie this shit into the greater Marvel universe, because they really haven't really touched on that at all.
You know, I saw the end of Guardians of the Galaxy 1 on TV the other day, and they tied it into the Howard the Duck's universe. Like, what the fuck is that all about?
Well, Howard the Duck is a Marvel character. Marvel? Yeah, he's a Marvel character. And Howard is in this one too, which I think is funny. Like,
it is. I mean, especially for 80s kids. Like,
yeah. Because that movie is so bad. he makes another appearance here, and that's funny. But and this is another thing that Marvel kind of suffers from too, is they stuff their films, like their sequels, with so much more shit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is already a film that has a team of five, so it's much like the Avengers, where you already have like people vying for screen time, and then you have like Yondu, who's played by Michael Rooker. He like takes up some time in this. Kurt Russell, he's the main villain in this, Ego. He takes up a ton of time, and then like you have like random shit, like Sylvester Stallone like is in this movie, not for very long, but he's just there, and it's like you could cut some of this shit. You don't need all these people. And it overinflates it. The movie is, I think it's like 2.5 hours long.
Oh boy.
Or maybe a little bit less than that. I mean, 2 hours and 15 minutes. But I think they could have tightened it up a bit. Like, you didn't necessarily need the Sylvester Stallone storyline. You could have cut that stuff. It's not necessary.
You know, that's something I would say about most of the Marvel movies. Like, the Avengers, like, all of them. The Captain America and Avengers movies, I think they get away with it in Winter Soldier and Civil War because they're just so well made, and the parts that are good are great. But right. when it's not working, it's super noticeable. Like in
Age of Ultron. Avengers
2. Yeah. So
yeah, this one's fun. I had fun with it, but. I wasn't like, oh my god, that was great. Like, I really liked the first one a lot, and this one did not kind of meet up with that. So
I think people hyped up the first one too much for me. But I, like I said, I thought it was like fine. It was likable. I'm just continuing my protest of superhero movies. right up until Spider-Man Homecoming, in which case I will be there for that. But
you got a little bit of time.
Yeah. And of course,
skip Wonder Woman.
I mean, unless it gets like good reviews, yeah, I'll probably skip it. Like, it's, I would love to support it for the fact of like, hey, let's give like female leads in these, some of these movies, but I'm not going to do that I've said it a billion times. I'm sick of it all, dude. Like,
yeah,
I want to see different summer blockbusters than just superhero movies. I, you know,
that's why I think this summer is really looking quite good in that respect. Like, I mean, yes,
it's diverse.
We had Guardians, but I mean, we've Alien in a couple weeks. There's new Pirates movie coming out. There's like It and The Dark Tower later.
Oh my summer. God. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a lot of like cool, different stuff instead of just like, oh, well, there's a wasteland between the Marvel movies.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, I think this summer is going to be at the very least way more interesting than last year. And we should do our summer movie preview soon.
Yeah.
And then probably next month or so.
Yeah.
Or actually probably soon. Yeah, kicking off.
Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we'll do it next week with, we'll talk Prometheus and talk a bit about summer movie stuff.
Good call.
I think I'm at a 3 with it, I think.
Okay. I will see it. I'm not in a hurry to see it. I'm not really like, because when I go to a movie theater, not only do I buy a ticket, I buy popcorn, the Coke and all that shit. Like, it's like, I don't really feel like spending $30 to see it.
Yeah,
a sequel to a movie I thought was okay. Yeah.
Oh, shit. I totally forgot that I did see another movie on the same day I saw Guardians, and that was Slight.
Oh, yeah?
I saw Slight.
Oh, and I did. You told me to check out the trailer for that. I did, and it looked great.
Yeah.
So how did it?
That's a really cool movie. I really like that film a lot. We don't have a whole lot of time, so we got to talk some Alien. But yeah, that is a cool independent film. Basically, like a inner city Iron Man almost. Like the trailer doesn't really play it out like what he's doing, but it does state, like, I think he says like, I need to get more power.
Yeah.
In it. He has created a device that allows him to do sleight of hand, like move things without people seeing it. But it mostly revolves around this kid who's dealing drugs. He's a street magician. But he's also been wrapped up with this drug dealer, like slinging drugs on the side, and he's moving up the chain in this guy's, in his gang. And he doesn't really like that. Like, he doesn't want that for his life, and he tries to get out, and he screws it up, and he ends up having to find a way out using his magical ability.
It looked really cool.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool movie. If you get a chance to see it when it finally like probably hits video or something, which I can't imagine it'll be out that long.
I would hope like VOD or something. You know, it seemed like a movie for that. But
yeah, cause, I mean, it's a really low budget movie. It's like it was.
Only I was getting made for, vibes.
Like, what was that?
Go ahead.
It was only made for like $250,000. So.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah. I was just getting vibes of like Chronicle or like Dope, kind of like something sure. like
yeah, no, in it's, that it's, realm. Yeah. It plays in there. Like it plays along with kind of a, you know, Chronicle was like a different take on superhero movies. Dope was, you know, inner city kind of life.
Like this, trying to escape. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's kind of what this is. So, I really like it. It's a really cool movie.
What would you give that one?
4.
All right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I had heard nothing about it, and I remembered you telling me.
Unfortunately, I totally forgotten about it. But yeah, I had taken off last Friday and ended up seeing it, and that
doing
it
was a double feature.
Well worth going to see. So.
All right. Let's get into it, man.
All right.
So last week we reviewed, or kind of went over, Alien and Aliens, which to me wasn't as fun because I've seen those movies a bunch. We've probably talked about them before on this show.
Yeah.
Everyone knows they're great. There's not a lot of debate or anything there. But now it gets interesting because now we're getting into, like, for one, I have not seen these two other Alien movies that many times. I think it was my second time for each of them. And these are less talked about, less liked. I think they could have some more interesting discussion. So we'll go in order, obviously. We'll start with Alien 3, which came out in 1992. And I think it's important to note that it came out 1 year after Terminator 2. And I think when we get into talking about this, why I think that's important. But Chris, start us off with Alien 3. I don't want to drive this boat anymore.
Alien 3. So going into this, I didn't remember. I remember liking it. I'd seen it multiple times, but I remember enjoying aspects of it. Going back to it, it's hard. it's really hard. Yeah. It takes place immediately after Aliens. I watched a timeline video this week, and it takes place like within the same year as
it's that close.
Yeah. Ripley, she's on the Marine ship, and a fire happens. They eject the cryo tubes, and she lands on this planet Fury 161, which is a prison colony. It's an all male prison colony at that. And she lands, they kind of rescue her, they bring her on board, like into the prison, and very quickly we kind of realize that I mean, we know why, because I think the opening credits actually show that there's a facehugger on board the little shuttle thing that kicks down, and that's kind of the acid is what actually starts the fire. So we know that like an alien of some sort has come down here. We just don't know exactly what's going on. We very quickly realize that Newt is dead, that Hicks is dead, and Bishop is beyond kind of repair.
Yeah.
And
robot version of dead.
Yeah, so we are left. Ripley is it, and we are introduced to a whole new group of characters here. Some of which are okay, some of which suck. We quickly, like, you know, a new alien is born, and it starts wreaking havoc, and shit happens from there on.
There's so many problems with this movie. I would come out right out and say it. I think it's I don't know if it's the worst of all the Alien movies, but it's the one I have the least fun watching. Like, it feels like?
Yes.
It feels like a junkyard version of Alien, like of the first one. It's just like this drab, dreary environment that is not visually interesting like the first two.
Yes, there's a lot of like browns and. Like where the first one was interesting because it was on this like alien ship for us, like an alien kind of environment, the spaceship. This is really like in like a warehouse somewhere, like a factory.
Pretty much. Yeah. A soundstage.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have that feel though, like that the other ones had, like where, you know, you have this alien technology to us. It's all like, in fact, like they don't have anything like anything modern, like everything is old, and it's a weird thing.
I mean, and you just think of like the set design in the original Alien, like how intricate the Nostromo is, just like the corridors with the pipes and shit. Like, It almost looks, I would almost describe it as like machinery that looks like biological or something.
Sure.
And none of like that interesting shit is in this. It just looks like shit. It could have maybe been an interesting premise, but it doesn't feel like they did a whole bunch. And here's another thing that we have to address here is I've been watching the theatrical cuts of all of these,
Yeah.
and you've been watching the 2003 like
This,
director's cut versions
yeah, the
or special edition.
special
Yeah.
edition, yeah.
And I know that this one is the most different, so there might be points here where we differ in what we were saying or what we saw. I mean, I don't know. I don't remember if I which version I watched when I saw it before. But anyways, and also to point out, like obviously we're going through these movies that are old as hell, so it's full spoilers on this. Like, we're no
Yeah,
warning.
I mean this movie is what 25 years old at this point,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, it's just there's a few major problems with it. One is I think it is a drab looking movie. I think it looks like shit most of the time. Like when they and David Fincher is obviously a very talented director. This is him just starting off. I think this is his very first movie. It's not visually interesting at all, and you could tell he's trying to do tricks and stuff. Like they shoot from the point of view of Alien, and they use some sort of different lens or a different camera or something, and I think it looks like garbage. Like it looks bad. Not to mention the biggest offense in this movie, which is like all sorts of like crazy early on, like super early primitive CGI. Like
Yet the CGI is terrible.
it's atrocious. Like. And we'll get into Alien Resurrection in a minute, but like that movie, I don't know, maybe it had some, but if it did, it looked a billion times better than this. And here, it's used actually kind of quite of a bit, and it looks terrible. Like it takes you out of the movie. It just looks really, really bad. So yeah, I think that's. Those are two problems with it. I feel like it just seems thrown together. So she's like thrown into this planet with these prisoner with this prison population, and not much is done with it. Like they hint at stuff, they talk about how like they haven't seen women so long, and like how it's like temptation for them, and none of it really
So,
adds up to anything. It's just the alien kind of shows up, and then from there it goes into basic going through the motions of an alien movie, but with really terrible CGI, shitty visuals in general, characters you don't care about, you know.
did the version you watch have the attempted rape scene?
Yeah,
Okay.
they and then what's his name? It's like Charles Dutton, is that the actor?
Yeah, yeah,
He shows up and stops it.
yeah.
Like I think he hits some of the
He's
dudes with
great.
like a pipe over the head or some
Yeah, he's
shit.
like just like beating on the guy. Yeah, that's
Yeah.
the same. I like Dylan as a character a lot. He's probably the most interesting one, out of all
And
the
he's a real
inmates there.
actor, you know.
Yeah.
Although this movie does have some actors in it, for
Yeah.
sure. I was surprised. I was sitting there watching this doctor who's like helping her out.
Yeah,
And I'm
Clemens.
like, I could not figure out who he was. And then I'm like, wait a second. That's Tywin from Game
Yeah,
of Thrones. He's just way
it's a
younger.
Charles Dance like
Yes.
25 years ago.
And
So.
he's good in it. Like he does a good job at, like for what he's in of it. Like he gets taken out pretty early on, but while he's there, I was happy to have him. He's like, oh, here's somebody who could act against Sigourney Weaver.
Right, and that I think that's the big problem with the film is that she doesn't have anybody to act with, like outside of Dylan and Clemens, and Clemens is killed off pretty early. And she doesn't really share a lot of time with Dylan up until the end.
Yeah.
And
Disjointed in a
yeah,
way, like
but the rest of it is like she's kind of just like you're under Clemens' care, you're segregated to here, like you can't be wandering around. And she's never given anybody to act with against, except for the alien. And they maybe should have gone back to what they did in Alien and not show the alien as much.
I guess maybe they're like, well, now we got to step it up, and now since we have this new technology, we're going to show it. But like, boy, oh boy, that did not age well. Like, it aged worse than stop motion animation. Like, it looks worse than what the hell is that thing in RoboCop, the big giant thing that would like comes in the conference room and kills the dude?
Oh, the Ed robot,
yeah, Ed 209 or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that was stop motion animation. That looks kind of cheesy now. This looks worse than that. It just, it looks so bad. It seems like they couldn't correct like the lighting and shit on it. Like, it's just, it's terrible looking. And that's not the only problem though. Like, all right, I want to say when I first got my Blu-ray set of this, I want to say I watched like all the extras, and I'm going by memory of years ago now, but I want to say that Alien 3 was plagued with production problems. Like, I think it was rushed, if I remember correctly. I want to say that they were like shooting stuff without a finished script and doing rewrites as it went along, which would explain how drastically different two different versions of it could be.
Yeah. And it is drastically different, because in the version you watched, the dog gets infected, right?
Like, yes. Spike. He carries the alien. Yeah.
But in this one, there are these ox that help carry the shuttle back. And one of them just ends up randomly dead. And there's like a long scene with the inmates, carrying it in, hooking it up, and then the crawler, because that's what the xenomorph in this one is called, because it's a quadruped. It bursts from the ox. It actually makes more sense that instead of the dog, but yeah, like they change, like there's full scenes that are changed, but in the version I watched, there is the same scene that takes place in the air duct where he's cleaning it, and he also
sucked into the fan or whatever.
But he's like looking into the hole where the alien is, and he's calling out like a Spike, and there is no dog at all in the other cut. The fact that he's even calling, it's like, what is he calling? It's like there are full things that are completely different.
And that's the thing that, you know, whether it's a dog or whether it's an ox, I don't think is a major difference. But I think that goes to highlight that they were like really like kind of rushing through this.
Yeah, they didn't know how they were going to handle it. Yeah.
Because it's not something that you would rewrite like, oh, we got to make this. Like, it just seems like, well, in one version of this, we did this, and then someone did a rewrite, and that's the ox, and we'll shoot that too, and we're just shooting everything and going as fast as we can go, and here's your junkyard version of Alien.
Yeah, because like I went back, and so I watched the – because it's not Fincher's cut. Like, Fincher did not – he did not this alternate cut of the film. But the I guess they went back, they reproduced it and kind of came up with something that generally – I guess most people think is a slightly better cut of the film. But you know, like that opening scene where they find Ripley, it is completely different in both versions. Like in the version you watch, they actually go onto the ship. The dog is there. In fact, I think that's where the dog sees the face hugger and is barking at it. But Ripley is on board the shuttle in the alternate cut. She's been ejected from the shuttle. Clemens finds her on the ground on the beach. Like, it's so many things are so different. And it's not plot-wise, but it just changes the way the film looks and feels.
Yeah, I did read about that, about how, like, all the directors were invited, like when they did like a DVD release in 2003, to like give their cut of it. And Fincher was like, nah, I don't want anything to do with this movie. Like,
yeah, he's like, I hated that movie.
And I don't blame him. It just seems like it. And it's, I don't feel like it's his fault or anything. And obviously, like, he's first time director here. So,
Yeah.
And he's getting handed this franchise. But it just, boy, is this a fucking step down from the first two. Like, in many ways, you could see the first one is like this classic horror movie, and then the second one is this classic action movie that kind of like steps up and builds on everything that was in the first one. And then here it's just like, well, we're going to try this different weird thing. And they did nothing with it. They didn't really do anything with that prison environment, I don't think. And then it turns fairly like standard, like picking them off one by one, but with no interesting kills. Like every kill to me, it was like they didn't grab somebody and pulls them into a hole. And like, you don't see how he kills them. Or if you see something, it's like very quick and it's hard to tell what's going on. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think of things that like I liked about the movie, and really, I don't have much. Like, I'll say this: like, I found it. I remember it being terrible, and it's still terrible. But like, I found it slightly more watchable this time. And I don't know. I guess I kind of was into like Ripley's like realization of what she has to do. And whatnot, but I don't. I mean, like, I'm stretching here. Like, I don't know.
It is
what
really
to say good about it.
Like, going back to what you were saying about like set design and stuff. I don't know if you noticed at the end when the company shows up and Bishop, like the real Bishop, is there.
And is it confirmed? Is like maybe like. Do you think it's possibly actually was a robot, or is that for like someone said no, he's real?
I don't know. Like he says that he's
in the movie,
a real
says,
person,
yeah.
But I don't actually know.
You can't trust that Wayland Corporation for sure.
No, not at all. But like he comes in, and I don't know if you saw, but like they have like he comes in with a big group, from the company all in
yeah.
and stuff. And one of them, and maybe it was cut out of your version, but he's holding like a video camera, like a news camera. And it was like, what the fuck? it just dates the movie. And that's something that Alien and Aliens don't do. Like, they feel futuristic even now.
There's tech in it. Like, I don't know. I guess. I don't know if I agree with that 100%, but I will agree with you that like the Alien 1 and 2 did not have a giant fucking VHS camcorder.
Like, it's not that they don't feel like, I mean, they feel like old sci-fi, but it also like it fits. It
they
feels
would have done,
like
they would have done something different for the camera than just like a 1990 fucking.
Like it's like at the time they kind of like tried, all right, what would be the most futuristic thing we could do? And like I mean, Mother in Alien is fucking ridiculous. Now, but it still kind of feels that it takes place in that world. And then this guy shows up, and there's like a dude with silver sunglasses, and
yes, there's a guy with silver sunglasses,
and this giant fucking news camera. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, in fact, that didn't bother me until right now. But yeah, it's a fucking weird thing that Fincher created here, and it's not all his fault, but. Some things definitely can be levied at him, but I still think Ripley is an engaging character, and
always.
I don't
even in the fourth one. But yeah. The reason I brought up Terminator 2 is not just because it has like the same ending as this movie, but because visually that movie holds up, and that came out a year earlier, so there's no excuse.
Yeah.
Like, there's obviously tons of... I'm sure they spent money on this movie. There's no excuse for it to look as bad as it does all around.
Yeah, I mean, it had a $50 million budget, which was pretty big at
huge.
The time.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about huge, but it's up there. And the movie looks like shit. Like, both from, like, special effects to just set design and everything. It's just... It's a boring movie to look at. Or, like... Like grading, like, or you're just like, oh my god, that looks terrible.
Yeah,
the story's not good. Like, just nothing is really good about it. And if like let's say like that was the last one, that's a sad note to go out on. Fortunately, the series is like carried on, but I don't know. Anything else you want to say about three? I mean, I feel like we kind of covered what was in there.
Yeah, it's a movie.
Yeah, it's definitely a movie.
I don't hate it. Like, but like I definitely, it's not one that I will consistently go back and watch over and over again.
Yeah, I think I got one more in me with it. Like, I will watch it one more time in some year in the future to see like the alternate version of it. But
right.
I think that's it. I don't think I'll ever see it again after that. I'm giving it a 2. It's not good.
All right, I'm gonna stick with a 3. I don't hate it. It's whatever.
All right, we gotta move along to
the other
very
thing.
Special dude. All right, like I did not see Alien Resurrection until I got this set. I think the same thing was true with Alien 3. I think I said that, but I remember enjoying Resurrection quite a bit, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it again. This fucking movie. It's a guilty pleasure. It's ridiculous. And it shits on everything. Like, at least Alien 3, no matter what you want to say about it, like, it took it seriously. I'm pretty sure this one knows that it's fucking garbage and it's just having fun. Like, right? Like, it couldn't have been serious about this at the time, right?
So I hope so. Like, I really do. It's really dumb.
I mean, it was written by Joss Whedon, who...
Yeah, and this very much feels like somebody... When I said I was watching this, a friend of mine posted on that and said that this kind of feels like a warm-up for him for Firefly.
Yeah.
And I could very much see that. Like, it has that same feel. It's like goofiness in space. It is a fun movie, though.
And the director is, like, it's like Jean-Pierre Jeunet or something, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Who, I was like, yeah, this is probably some fucking guy that directed one movie. He actually has done some movies. One of them is Amelie. Amelie, which is, like, I've never seen, but I know it's well-regarded.
Yeah.
But all that aside, this movie is fucking Cornball City, and I love it. And it has a fucking amazing cast. Like,
yeah, it does.
Some of my favorite character actors ever. You have Ron Perlman. You have fucking Brad Dourif. Like, those two guys, I never knew that they were in the same movie together. It blows me away. And there are some other ones in there that comes straight to mind right now. Well, you have Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
You got Sigourney Weaver yet again. Who, like... This is a weird aside, but whatever. I think she somehow got hotter as the movies went along, which is crazy because she got, like, way older. And I couldn't figure out whether it's, like, the fact that she finally has a normal haircut in this one in Resurrection or if, like, she just got better with age. I have no idea. But or maybe it was, like, she was kind of wearing, like, leather pants and shit in this, too. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But whatever it is, she did something for me in this that she didn't in the other ones with her, like, crazy hair.
Yeah, there's something about her in this. She actually looks really good in this movie.
And she just seems like she wants to get fucked the whole movie. And I think that was like she, because, all right, in this one, she's like, and there's so many weird things that we gotta get into, but like her DNA is like melded with an alien in this one. And like, I think she's like trying to play it like I'm human, but I'm also something else. And so like, she has like this weird vibe that she gives off, but to me, just translates to that she wanted to get fucked the whole movie. In fact, she even says in one of the great million cornball lines in this movie, she says, "So who do I have to fuck to get off this boat?"
Yes.
Dude, this is a cheese factory. It's fucking great. I don't know why we get into like what happens in this one, because That's part of the fun of it. Like, I was live tweeting the fuck out of this movie because there's just so many funny things to like pick at.
It's really, really, it's a weird film. Like, it takes place 200 years after Alien 3. They've somehow, as you just said, like, gotten her DNA and they've cloned her, but
which With the
alien, like, I guess they kept like cloning her and checking, and they were waiting until there was a queen inside of her, which makes zero sense.
Yeah, okay. This is a rant I went off on Twitter about this. Because, all right, I guess at this point in 1997 or whenever this came out, like, a lot of this is still hypothetical, but like, you know, scientists can clone stuff. We have a general idea of like what genetic engineering is, and all right, so they claim they found some of her blood from Alien 3,
right?
And then they cloned her with the queen inside her. I'm like, I don't think that's how that works, because if it's her blood, it's just going to be her. It's not going to, like, that'd be like if you found a pregnant person and you took their blood and then you made a clone of them, there's a baby in them.
Pregnant makes no sense. Immediately.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't, that makes that for, and that's just one of a lot of things in this one. I'm like, wait, why? What? So then the other thing that happens in this, all right, so it's no longer the Wayland Corporation. I guess they no longer exist anymore.
Yeah, it is 200 years later. So,
yeah. So now it's like it's not the United States military, but it's like the United something military.
Yeah. Some sort
basically
of
basically the military. Force. Yeah. And so they did this. They brought her back, and they want to breed these things for weapons or whatever. And then so, to breed them, to make more of them, they hire these mercenaries, this like motley crew, who brings a bunch of humans to them. Like, I don't know what they like.
Yeah, they're basically like human trafficking.
Yeah, so I don't remember if they said where they got the humans or what, but they bring a bunch of humans, and these humans get put into like cryo tubes with little eggs, like the eggs of aliens, so that, you know, that they could gestate in them and give birth to the fucking xenomorphs. And I'm sitting there going, wait a second. Do they have to, like, do the aliens need humans in order to become the xenomorph? Like, what the fuck? And you clarified it for me, like, no, it just has to be a living thing, because, like, in Alien 3, they use a dog or an ox.
Right.
So why the fuck didn't they just use dogs? Why are they using human beings?
That's, I don't know.
Insane. It's just absolutely like, I was like, that's fucking nuts, but that's kind of hilarious. And there's just kind of like all sorts of like stupid, crazy shit like that in this movie. Stupid one-liners. And then it honestly, like, from 30 minutes in, it just turns into senseless action for like the whole rest of the movie.
Yeah, it's basically,
I kind of love it.
Like, crazy, mindless escape from a space station that's going to blow up movie.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's like it is like, it's just like a mindless, fun 90s cheeseball action movie, like action horror movie. I kind of love it from just being that. Like, it can't hold a candle to like the rest of the series.
Yeah, right?
It's just such a fun guilty pleasure.
It's something else entirely. It's so weird, but it is. It's totally fun. The characters are fun. Like, they all interact real well, and I think that comes from Whedon. Just like, he knows how to write groups of characters. Even, they might not be deep, but he knows how to have people interact with each other in fun ways. And he does a really good job with like Ron Perlman and Winona Ryder, and all their characters really kind of work really well here.
Yeah. And like, Ron Perlman can deliver a cheesy line. Like, he'll put that shit on a fucking Ritz cracker for you. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I laughed at some of the fucking shit that comes out of his mouth or everyone's mouth throughout the whole movie. As I was naming off like people who are in this, fucking Tuco is in this, basically acting like Tuco.
Yeah.
I should say that actor's his name is Raymond Cruz. Really good actor. Like, he's amazing in Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. But yeah, he's in this. Like, I was just watching the movie. I was like, oh my god, this person isn't, like, it's just all these people who are always like little roles are like in the big roles kind of in this movie. I love that. Just so much stupid shit, dude. Like Winona Ryder, like what the fuck was going on with her through the whole movie? Then you find out she's a fucking
She's a
robot.
droid, yeah.
And she's all like upset about it. Like, you must be a generation. Like, they like throw these little expositions in there that don't really matter, but like, you must be a generation two robot. That's when the robots started making more robots. Like, they started making their own. And I was like, it's a
it's
cool
like,
little
oh fuck.
idea.
It's Terminator.
Yeah, but it was like, yeah, essentially, yeah. I don't know. It's just goofy and fun, and it's a good time. Like, if you're willing to accept that, like, it's not going to take this kind of revered franchise seriously, and it's just having fun with it, and I think it knows it's. I think
yeah, this
Whedon
is
at the very least knows.
It's not hard sci-fi. Like maybe the first two.
No,
it is.
Although it has like those little ideas in there, like
yeah,
like as throwaway lines.
But it is definitely it's a goofball film. Like,
and it's fun. Like I'm being completely honest. I actually kind of love this movie. Like it's one I'll watch again. Like I know I'll watch it again.
Yeah, it's easily watchable. I think that the CG in it holds up pretty well. It looks like they decided to go do some more like practical effects as well, which actually work really well. It's not a bad looking movie. Kind of like Alien 3 is a bad looking movie now.
Yeah. Like this, it looks like a 90s movie. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
like,
I mean, there's some stuff like, oh, that's CG. Like when, you know, you see the ship, like kind of moving in on the space station. Like, they did some like weirdo animation.
It's like just everything here comes off as kind of charming and goofy as opposed to like drab and fucking
yeah,
boring.
They went the complete other way with this.
Like, don't get me wrong. Like it is like when you look at them, like this series has classics in it. It has two classics. And then you get to this, it's just like a fucking cheesy late 90s movie that like you could watch for fun.
Yep.
But if, for what that is, I kind of love it. I'm going to give it 3 stars. And
that's where I'm
you've
at.
Never seen this. Yeah, you are as well.
Yeah.
You've never seen this one, though. You're in for like one hell of a weird fucking treat.
Yeah, just like set all your expectations. What a like if all you've seen is
what
Alien
Aliens
and Aliens,
be? Yeah,
push
yeah.
that to the side and just like, holy shit, this is something fascinating and weird. And if you do that, you'll enjoy it. You'll come out going yes, and then you can jump back in and see like a more serious film with like Prometheus or Covenant. So
yeah, which I was gonna mention. So next week we will talk about Prometheus, which I'm actually really excited to talk about. And then following that, we're going right into Covenant. So
yeah,
that'll wrap up all of our Alien. Like we're not going to do the Alien versus Predator movies, which I have not seen, but I don't think they really count.
No,
or do they?
I mean they. Okay, so I will talk about Alien versus Predator next week.
Okay,
I bought the Blu-ray. It was $7 on Amazon for both movies. So,
okay,
I was like, maybe, and I'm gonna watch the original. I know that has the Weyland Yutani Corp in it. But it takes place like today.
Does it count as canon though? Because I would say that all of the Alien movies that exist, including Prometheus, are canon and they all work together.
I don't know. I would say no.
Yeah.
I would say like there's some like weird mishmash timeline shit going on
there.
Okay. But we'll talk about that next week.
Sure, sure. So yeah, that'll do it. I guess.
Did you want to talk about a Tower?
Yeah, I gotta get this one out just because I saw it like almost a month ago now. So there's a movie called Tower. It's a documentary. You can watch it on Netflix. It is about one of the earlier mass shootings in America, University of Texas. This guy went up into a tower there, kind of like in the commons area or whatever, you know, like the main part of the campus, and he started sniping people. This documentary is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it's animated, which just seems like a weird thing to do. Like, all right, there's a mass shooting, you're going to make an animated documentary about it? That's strange. On top of that, it's like rotoscoped. So it's interviews with people, and they, you know, rotoscope the animation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the weird thing is, they took actual interviews with people, and then they had actors do the interviews, and then they rotoscoped those actors. And the reason they did that is they picked out actors who were the age of the people at the time. So say like the person now, he's like in his 80s, right?
Right.
But he was 26 at the time that this happened. Well, they found an actor that age to read his lines from the interview.
Okay.
So it's really weird. And it initially comes off as like a gimmick. I'm like, okay, one, why are you animating this? And like, I didn't know all those little details I just told you as I was watching it. But like, I figured it out because I'm like, they're interviewing a little boy who was like riding a bicycle who got shot, right? Like, and he was like 10 years old at the time. And the person they're interviewing, he has a 10-year-old's voice. So I'm like, there's no way it doesn't, you know. So like, I kind of figured that out on my own. And then I went and read up about it. And I'm like, okay, that's what they did. And it comes off like a gimmick until like the last half hour or so of the film. And I don't want to spoil it, but like they were doing something there. And it pays off like with a pretty strong emotional punch where like I was just like, floored, kind of. I was like I got chills, like I got goosebumps as I was watching this movie. So I ended up like really actually like at first I was like, this is kind of gimmicky, and why not just like do, you know, actual footage and actual interviews with these people? And there is, the animation does cut to actual footage from that day too, like old grainy black and white footage,
right?
Because it was like 1961 or something, I want to say. I don't want to totally spoil it. I'll just say I think it has a pretty strong emotional punch near the end. Like I was like kind of riveted by like the last half hour of this movie. And it doesn't have much to say. Well, for one, it doesn't give any sort of glory to the shooter at all. Like I think that at one point they say who he was, but it's really about the people who were there on campus on that day, like cops, newsmen, students. And it's about like acts of heroism, like people helping each other, and about like how their lives changed after that day. And it doesn't have much to say either about like mass shootings in America or violence in America or anything. It's just really about those people and how that day changed them.
Okay.
And the like the little gimmick, the device that they use to tell that story, I think pays off pretty big time at the end. It's available on Netflix, so I would recommend watching it.
I just added it to my list.
Yeah, at first you might not be impressed, but I'm telling you, it has a payoff. I'll be interested to hear what you say. I'm going to say 4 stars for Tower. It's a pretty unique documentary. Like lots of documentaries do recreations and reenactments and stuff like that, but this is something entirely different, and it does have an emotional effect.
Okay.
So leave it at that. I've been meaning to talk about that one. I don't know why I forgot, because I was pretty impressed by it. But
yeah, it definitely sounds interesting. So
yeah. So for next week, we will have Prometheus, a little bit of AVP talk. And I will have, at the very least besides that, Martin Scorsese's latest film, Silence.
Okay. I'm interested to hear about that one too, so.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to put in the work on it because it's like over 2.5 hours. So, yeah, you let me watch it. I'll let you know whether it's worth it. I will not lie.
All right.
Is it another Wolf of Wall Street? Well, it's not going to be Wolf of Wall Street, but is it going to be that caliber, or is it going to be a snooze fest? I'll let you know.
Yeah, sometimes he does put stuff out that is a little snoozy, so.
Yeah, but then sometimes he did, like, dude, Wolf of Wall Street, I think, was like over 3 hours, and that fucking movie is hilarious. Like, I could watch it over and over, but.
Oh, and it doesn't feel like 3 hours either, so.
No, it feels like a 90-minute comedy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, right. So we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening. Movie dudes! Do-do-do-do!